We laughed till we were rolling about the couches and chairs, choking and teary-eyed. The girls were so weak from laughing, they had to try two or three times to get to their feet.
"I gotta go tinkle,"
the big one said, and went weaving and giggling toward the latrine and missed the door, staggered into the dorm while we all hushed one another with fingers to the lips, waiting till she gave a squeal and we heard old Colonel Matterson roar, "The pillow is a horse!" and come whisking out of the dorm right behind her in his wheelchair. Seafelt wheeled the colonel back to the dorm and showed the girl where the latrine was personally. Told her it was generally used by males only, but he would stand at the door while she was in there and guard against intrusions on her privacy. Defended against all comers, by gosh. She thanked him solemnly and shook his hand, and they saluted each other, and while she was inside, here came the colonel out of the dorm in his wheelchair again, and Seafelt had his hands full keeping him out of the latrine. When the girl came out of the door, he was trying to ward off the charges of the wheelchair with his foot while we stood on the edge of the fracas cheering one guy or the other. The girl helped Seafelt put the colonel back to bed, and then the two of them went down the hall and waltzed to music nobody could hear. Harding drank and watched and shook his head. "It isn't happening. It's all a collaboration of Kafka and Mark Twain and Martini." McMurphy and Turkle got to worrying that there might still be too many lights on, so they went up and down the hall turning out everything that glowed, even the little knee-high night lights, till the place was pitch black. Turkle got out flashlights, and we played tag up and down the hall with the wheelchairs from storage, having a big time till we heard one of Seafelt's convulsion cries and went to find him sprawled, twitching beside that big girl, Sandy. She was sitting on the floor brushing at her skirt, looking down at Seafelt.
"I never experienced anything like it," she said with quiet awe.
Fredrickson knelt beside his friend and put a wallet between his teeth to keep him from chewing his tongue and helped him get his pants buttoned.
"You all right, Seaf? Seaf?"
Seafelt didn't open his eyes, but he raised a limp hand and picked the wallet out of his mouth. He grinned through his spit.
"I'm all right," he said. "Medicate me and turn me loose again."
"You really need some medication, Seaf?"
"Medication."
"Medication," Fredrickson said over his shoulder, still kneeling. "Medication," Harding repeated, and weaved off with his flashlight to the drug room. Sandy watched him go with glazed eyes. She was sitting beside Seafelt, stroking his head in wonderment.
"Maybe you better bring me something, too," she called drunkenly after Harding. "I never experienced anything come even close to it."
Down the hall, we heard glass crash, and Harding came back with a double handful of pills. He sprinkled them over Seafelt and the woman like he was crumbling clods into a grave. He raised his eyes toward the ceiling.